For 6 years, Democrats fumed when President Clinton's judicial nominees were stalled by the Republican-controlled Senate. But the tables have been turned. Now there's a Republican president and a Democratic Senate. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports on what this could mean for President Bush's nominees.
About 1/8 of the federal judiciary is vacant. But while 70 of the 102 vacancies are in the trial courts, President Bush has made just 2 nominations to fill those slots. Instead, the administration is concentrating on filling the 32 appeals court vacancies. The president has already sent the Senate names for half of those slots. There's a reason for that. The appeals courts are just one step below the Supreme Court, and these are the judges that are the final word in most of the cases heard across the country. Moreover, they are widely considered training grounds for the Supreme Court. Indeed, it was the Clinton nominees for the appellate courts who were most ferociously stalled by the GOP in years gone by. The numbers tell the tale. Although Presidents Clinton and Reagan won confirmation for roughly equal numbers of judges in their 2 terms, Mr. Reagan won confirmation of 87% of his appeals court nominees, while Mr. Clinton won confirmation of only 61%, leaving the rest dangling without action. In the last 2 years of the Clinton presidency, 17 appeals court nominees never got a hearing. Those who were confirmed waited on average more than a year. Contrast that with the wait for President Reagan's nominees in his last 2 years when the Democrats controlled the Senate, 17 weeks, and for the first President Bush's nominees, 15 weeks. The result is that now, after 8 years of a Democratic administration, Republican appointees still dominate the influential appeals courts. President Bush wants to add to that advantage, and as Democrats see it, he has front-loaded the nomination process, concentrating his early judicial nominations in the appeals court. Senator Patrick Leahy, the Democratic chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, having served with 6 presidents, has this perspective.
Presidents serve for no more than 8 years. Judges serve for a lifetime. And I think the Senate has a real responsibility to make sure that we have an independent judiciary, one that doesn't lurch to the right or the left.
And Leahy insists he will be fair.
I've talked with a number of Republican senators, and some have told me very frankly, they were totally unfair to President Clinton, and they're wondering if I'm going to do the same thing to them. I'm not. I am not going to go for some kind of a payback.
Not surprisingly, the Republicans aren't taking those assurances at face value. A new group has sprung up, billing itself as bipartisan, and it's running ads so far in just one state, South Dakota, which just happens to be the home of the Democratic Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle.
Our legal system affects us all. Every day, courts make decisions that impact our families. That's why President Bush supports common sense judges with character, experience, and intellect.
Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating, a Republican, is chairman of the sponsoring group, Citizens for Common Sense Courts.
The judiciary shouldn't be an arm of either party. Let's fairly get judges considered and confirmed.
But while Keating's group bills itself as bipartisan, the Democrat it features most prominently in its literature, former Democratic Attorney General Griffin Bell, says he is in fact not part of the group that he declined to join, and yesterday the group retracted his name. That's not to say that Republican fears are unfounded. Liberal groups are already lining up to oppose a significant number of President Bush's judicial nominees. Nan Aaron is director of the Alliance for Justice, an umbrella group of civil rights, environmental, and consumer organizations.
We have grave doubts about most of the candidates nominated by President Bush. They were chosen by this president specifically because while they may be very qualified and have excellent records in the law, they have shown by their actions or writings a real hostility to the gains made by women, minorities, and hostility to the role that government plays in improving the lives of Americans.
And specific groups have targeted specific nominees. Americans United for Separation of Church and State is opposing University of Utah professor Michael McConnell, a respected conservative scholar who's long argued for greater accommodation between church and state. Also opposed to McConnell is the National Abortion Rights Action League, which cites his strong opposition to Roe v. Wade. In addition, NARAL is also fighting the appeals court nomination of John Roberts, who, when he served as Deputy Solicitor General in the first Bush administration, wrote a brief that argued against federally funded clinics allowing doctors to discuss abortion with their patients. In that brief, Roberts contended that Roe v. Wade should be reversed, a position he was quizzed about by Justice Harry Blackmun in a later case that he argued involving abortion clinics.
Mr. Roberts, in this case, are you asking that Roe v. Wade be overruled?
No, Your Honor. The issue doesn't even come up.
Well, that hasn't prevented the Solicitor General from taking that position in prior cases.
But Walter Dellinger, who served as Solicitor General in the Clinton administration, says it's very risky to judge judicial nominees by the positions they've taken as government lawyers.
The kind of arguments that John Roberts was making in the position of Deputy Solicitor General were the kind that a professional lawyer is expected to make when his client, the chief executive of which is the President of the United States, has run on those positions. I'm afraid that this is a process that will lead to the rejection of the most qualified of the nominees, that is, those who, like Roberts, have been out and have had a major lifetime of accomplishment.
Elizabeth Cavendish, the legal director of NARAL, disagrees.
He was aligned personally with these decisions. Again, he was a political appointee, and this was a signature position of the first Bush administration.
There's an irony in NARAL's position. Liberal groups were outraged when conservatives opposed some Clinton appointees because of positions they took as lawyers. I pressed the point on Cavendish.
So you would say that those who are anti-abortion would be completely correct in voting their ideas and opposing pro-choice nominees?
It doesn't work both ways. The other side wants to turn back the clock on women's rights and roll back a fundamental right.
Just what will happen to the Roberts and McConnell nominations and others is unclear. When the Republicans controlled the Senate, those nominees had been slated for quick hearings. With the Democrats in control now, though, the first hearing is likely to be for Roger Gregory, an African-American from Virginia, appointed by President Clinton to sit on an interim basis for a year on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. President Bush reappointed Gregory. Chairman Leahy says he intends to begin confirmation hearings in less than 2 weeks, but by tradition, only one appeals court nominee is considered at a time, and historically, there's an average of about one confirmation hearing a month. With only 3 months left scheduled in this legislative session this year, that would mean three or four appeals court nominees, possibly, confirmed this year. Even that could be in doubt. North Carolina Republican Senator Jesse Helms blocked all of President Clinton's North Carolina nominees to the Fourth Circuit, and nobody's quite sure what he will do about the Gregory nomination when it gets to the Senate floor, where he could put a so-called hold on it and send it into limbo. Moreover, all confirmation hearings are on hold for the moment because the Senate Democrats and Republicans have not agreed to a reorganizing plan in the aftermath of the Democratic takeover. The Republicans are seeking something that no Senate minority has ever had before, a guarantee that all the president's nominees will get a floor vote. Few observers believe the Republicans will get such an unprecedented guarantee because the current stalemate is perfectly acceptable to the Democrats. If the Senate organization agreement is not forthcoming, it means simply that no nominations will move at all. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.